Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Support. Curtis Fleming is there on the edge of the area. Fleming for Craig Hignett. Hit it, Higgy. Higgy hits the treble!
Avanelli coming alive again. Janino wants the ball played to him. Avanelli spots out.
Hello and welcome to the Borough Breakdown podcast, the opposition show. On this episode, I'm joined by Benjamin Bloom to talk all things Ipswich ahead of Borough's first visit to Portman Road since 2018. Now, Ben, thanks for joining me again on the show. Football aside, firstly, how are you?
I was fine. And then you mentioned 2018 and it just brought back a horrible memory. I was at that game, and if you ever want to see the worst piece of pressing from one of the worst teams in Championship history, who was the lad you had in central midfield who just walked through and scored in that game? And
Besic.
God bless, it wasn't, sorry,
Mohamed Besic,
that's it, yeah. God bless Tony Pulis, who got 2-0 up in that game and really went, okay, well done, lads. Clean sheet, please. And we'll go home with 3 points, because you could have won about 12-0 that night. But yeah, other than that, I'm absolutely fine. I'm a bit delirious, as you can probably tell. This end of the season is not good for the kind of equilibrium, Dana. But you're gonna ground me nicely, aren't you?
Well, actually, I was going to talk about that. You know, Ipswich being second in the table on goal difference, 4 games to go. How are the nerves? You know, bringing football into it. How are you feeling about that? Your team are almost there, but also no one seems to want to go up at the moment. It's weird.
Well, people say nice things to me, Dana. They say, "Oh, Ben, you're so balanced. You do such a good job of keeping your emotions in check." I'm pathetic. I've gone. My head's completely gone. East Anglian derby the other day, and I couldn't get a ticket, and I was actually struggling to watch it. And, you know, the choice between, shall I just not even watch this? It's too stressful. Last night, I was at Portman Road for Ipswich v Watford. And it's supposed to be fun, isn't it? And for the first half, for the most part, I'm okay. And if this game is in September and you're at 60 minutes and you're 0-0 with Watford, who cares? You know, fine. Just watch the game, enjoy the game. But, like, it's just cold chill came over the, like the White Walkers in Game of Thrones or whatever, just comes over the stadium at 60 minutes and everyone just goes into this heightened state of anxiety and nerves, because you know, right, if we score, it's massive. If we concede, it's massive. And I don't know if you've seen the clip, Dana. We got to the end of stoppage time, 95 minutes, and Edo Kayembe of Watford just hoofed the ball from the halfway line, and you're kind of looking at the corner of your eye and you're tracking the ball and you're like, oh my God, he's going to David Beckham this with the last kick of the game. And Hladky is running by and he flies and palms it out. And you're like, we could have just lost it. Imagine losing that game to that goal and what the Leeds and Leicester fans would have made of. So my head is completely gone already, which might be good when we talk about the 3-game week Ipswich have got to play to round out this season.
Yeah, I kind of want to touch upon, because I've heard outsiders mention this, that Ipswich fans will be fine with, you know, wherever they finish because of, I guess, the context of where they've found themselves this season, recently promoted back to the Championship. But you are so close to top spot, considering how far away Leicester were. They were running away with it at a point, and to a degree, I guess I've kind of not bottled it, but I can't think of another synonym, to be honest. I'm just going to say that. So, like, would you be happy with a playoff place or not?
It's one of those questions where the answer's not binary, isn't it? It would be, in the big picture, it would be amazing what Ipswich have done from 11th in League One or whatever to then second in League One to wherever it is. And let's be honest, it's probably going to be the top three unless we get Southampton just go mental in the last, you know, just win every game and beat Leicester and Leeds in the running. So big picture, yeah, you know, if we'd spoke at the start of the season and you said, Ben, I guarantee you playoffs. You can't finish second, but I guarantee you playoffs. I'm not arguing with you about that, am I? I'm just taking playoffs. So, but then, of course, you're totally right. You look at it, and sometimes in football, there's these sliding doors moments, aren't there, where you, and do we want to be sat here in 5-10 years time going, oh God, remember that run in 23-24 where if Ipswich had just not conceded that 94th minute goal to Middlesbrough and lost at Portman Road, that was the day. That was the day. And then Kieran McKenna left and they sold all their players and got relegated next. Do you know what I mean? You don't want it to be, you don't want it to be that, but yeah, so, so close. And, but of course, it, whatever they do, it's been an incredible rise from League One.
Yeah. How have Ipswich been performing lately then?
Not very well in terms of, you know, the eye test. I went on a thing with some Watford fans in December when Ipswich won at Watford and went top for the day. And I said to them, for the last 12 months, any coin flip game, any 50-50 game, any game where if I said, Dana, here are the stats, I'm not telling you the score, guess who won? And you'd like, oh, I can't call that. Any one of those games, Ipswich, they just won it. Do you know what I mean? They were just like a winning machine. And it's less like that now. I know your listeners are going to be going, what is he talking about? They've won 8-10 or something. But I don't know if you caught the game against Blackburn. That was in the four games on Good Friday. They won 1-0, clinging on for grim death for the last 30 minutes. The Southampton game, they won 3-2 Ipswich in the 97th minute. And from minute 20 to minute 60, Southampton completely dominant, absolutely dominant. So
watch that one. Yeah.
Do you agree?
Yeah, I would say so, yeah.
Yeah. And then the last two games, no goals. It has turned, you know, and like the coin flip game against Watford, Kiefer Moore's header goes in, or Broadhead's shot hits the post and goes in and doesn't hit the post and go across the line. So the eye test says there's been a few iffy moments, but I mean, my God, all this great 12 games, 9 wins in 12. So the points tally is sensational, but we're getting to the point now where I know you're a stats girl and you track things and look at trends and whatnot, but you get to the point now where it's just, okay, that's all lovely information, but can you score the same amount of points that Leeds do over the next four games? Do you know what I mean? It gets that simple. The context is so crystal clear.
Why do you think it is then that you maybe suffered a little bit of a dip in performance levels recently?
Slight regression to the mean. I mean, they're overperforming by anybody's eyes, aren't they? Nerves. But Leicester's year one parachute players were nervous at Millwall on Wednesday and Tuesday, and so were Leeds. And Leeds have got young players as well in that squad as well. It's got to be tiredness as well, hasn't it? I don't know how you feel about back-to-back Good Friday, Easter Monday, three-game week after it. You feel, come on, go Saturday, and then three-game week after that. But I think a lot of fans have been telling me this midweek round, a lot of knackered players and, you know, just trying, they're like these teachers at school trying to get to the end of term, and they're just like zombieing it, running up the travelator on gladiators, you know, just trying to claw their way over the line. So all of those things. And I mean, I know you've watched Borough in promotion races and getting over the line, just the mental side of just getting it done. And Daniel Farke said in his Leeds press conference that when he went up with Norwich, they were pretty much there. And then they went draw, 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 draw in four of the last six games. And it's just when it's there and you can touch it. And that was the case for Norwich then, but it's anyone's this season. So I think it's just the magnitude of things and just the nature of the fact that there's no margin for error because you've got three teams within a point of each other either.
It is fascinating as someone that isn't involved in it in the capacity of supporting any of those teams. But talk to me about January, because four players came in: Kiefer Moore, Ali Alhamadi, Lewis Travis and Jeremy Sarmiento. Are you happy with that business? Are you happy with the impact that and those players have had on Ipswich this season?
Yeah, I mean, it would have been amazing if you were bringing in Kiefer Moore and George Hurst was going to be fit. In a parallel universe, George Hurst doesn't get hurt against Leicester on Boxing Day. Do they get Kiefer Moore then? I'd love to think that they would, and you'd have both of those lads playing for the one position. Travis hasn't played too much, but he's an experienced head around the squad, isn't he? Sarmiento is, I think, if you score a late equalising goal at Leicester to draw 1-1 and the winning goal in that ridiculous Southampton game, I think you ticked off as a good loan signing as well. Alhamadi's been fun, but he's coming up from League Two, Dana. How hard is that to go from AFC Wimbledon to, you're coming in, not just to the champion, you're not coming to, imagine he came to Middlesbrough and they're in the middle of the table and there's still a playoff chance and you've got fit strikers ahead and you can do 15 minutes at the end of every game and ease in a less high pressure situation. So yeah, I think it was a good window. It'd just be fascinating to know whether they would have signed more if Hurst was going to have been available. I wonder whether they would or not, but we'll never know.
Yeah, it's an interesting point on Alhamadi. He was somebody that, we were discussing on Borough Breakdown of who could we maybe look at in January. And I was surprised in a way that he took such a jump up from League Two to the top end of the Championship, like the very top of the Championship. So I think that's quite interesting. Who are the players that Borough fans should maybe look out for on Saturday then? Has it changed from previously? Well, injuries have kind of, not helped there, have they?
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about a team who are simultaneously the top scorers in the division, but haven't scored a goal for two games. So I don't know what the hell you make of that. I mean, obviously, the obvious ones that Borough fans will know already without me telling them will be Leif Davis, who's got absurd numbers from left back, and you got this nice lopsided team set up to get him excessively high up on the left wing from left fullback. He's a brilliant player. It's always fun with Kladke in goal. There's always something. He's either going to make a brilliant save, he's playing out from the back and pinging the ball about, or he's coming for a cross and missing it, or was he starting? So he's a very noteworthy player. I mean, Sam Morsi is unrecognisable from when he was with you guys. He's running around like...
Obviously. It's the Borough way, Ben.
I'd like to think it's the Kieran McKenna way and he's just, transformed him, but...
It probably is as well, to be fair.
But what would you say if I told you at the start of the season, most influential player in one of the teams vying for the, automatic... Let's say how it is, but they're vying for the title. Ipswich could win the championship title, as ridiculous as that sounds. Deep lying playmaker, you're not going to say it's Sam Morsi, are you?
No, and it's funny because I feel like we could do with somebody in that mould, because I think at times this season we've been a little bit passive, a little bit inactive against the ball, and when teams are pressing on us, we need, to put it bluntly, a little bit of a shithouse in midfield, I think. We're a little bit too nice, so we could do with Sam Morsi, to be fair.
But he's more than that now as well. He is like a deep-lying playmaker as well. And I just never saw that at Wigan and at Borough and, wherever else Morsi has been, wherever else Paul Cook was at the time, I think. But, what's really interesting is that, look, they're not firing in terms of goals in the last two games. Wes Burns is not available. So you've got Connor Chaplin didn't start the last game at number 10. And I think he's either joint top scorer with Broadhead or he's one behind. So you'd imagine he'd start if he didn't start. And then, you know, will Broadhead start or where will Amari Hutchinson be pitched? Is he going to continue to cover for Wes Burns down the right-hand side? Will Sarmiento finally get a start? I don't know. He doesn't really fancy him so. Because it feels like in McKenna's sort of game plan, that's where the goals come from, the row of three off the front in the 4-2-3-1. So that's key. If they don't turn up, and I know you guys have got a red-hot striker at the moment, you know, if they don't turn up, then problems.
What are the weaknesses that Borough could potentially target then on Saturday?
I will address the 52 goals conceded column, Dana, quite quickly, which is Borough conceded 55. So, you know, if Borough crack in three goals, it'll be level. But yeah, we're just massively open. Kieran McKenna would point out that we had a clean sheet against Blackburn, a clean sheet against Sheffield Wednesday, and a clean sheet against Watford. So we've actually got 1-2-3 in sort of five games, which is rare for us. But Ipswich Town are a very, very open football team. And if we see any of the vertical passing and brilliant attacking we saw maybe last season from Borough, less this season, then there's goals, isn't there? And I've already mentioned Latte Lath, who looks really at it, doesn't he? So, yeah, it's just being massively open. Everybody knows, every analyst, even the likes of you and me know, Leith Davis is going to be up here. If there's a quick switch on into that channel, you know, that's where the space is. And it's how do you press and how do you counter? And teams that have got that right and done that well have scored lots of goals at Ipswich and particularly at Portman Road as well.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned about Leith Davis, because I was kind of getting parallels to Ryan Giles last season at Borough, because it was exactly the same, that he would be so advanced up the pitch and then we'd get caught in that space behind. So I think Leith Davis against Isaiah Jones could be a pretty interesting battle. I mean, you are pulling a face there, but to be fair, Jones, not the same player as what we saw under Wilder. And to be fair,
I know, but Dana, so quick and so direct. And if it's a counter-attack, yeah, then that's a good matchup if you're able to manipulate those situations.
I really hope that we can, because I like us counter-attacking. I think it really suits us. We scored a brilliant counter-attacking goal against Hull, and that's the sort of situations that I really want to see more from. So maybe we could see it against Ipswich. But I was looking into the stats, and Ben, talk to me about this. 19 games unbeaten at Portman Road. You haven't lost there since late August against Leeds, a rather boring 4-3 defeat. do you think you'll keep that unbeaten run up on Saturday when Borough come to Portman Road?
I've got absolutely no idea. I told you my head's gone at the start of the show, Dana. I mean, it's a hell of a run, isn't it? And to be fair, in that Leeds game, they just got... That was the first time anyone had seen... Who did Leeds play up top? Nonto returned. Sinisterra played before he got sold to Bournemouth. Piru made his debut. Who else? They had a ridiculous front four. Ruta. They like had an €80 million front four or something. They just blew us away. But still got most of those players, haven't they? So much of it depends on Borough and what intensity they can bring, and whether the flip-flops are either in the locker, are they by the deck chair? Are they just ready? Are they by the side of the pool? Are they ready to slip their feet into the flip-flops? Or, you know, can Carrick say, you know, can you post 10 points from the last four games? Can you get to 72 and see where you're at? Can you get a horrible finish for Norwich and get in there? I'm sensing from your body language, you think that unlikely, and maybe the flip-flops are going to be on fairly soon. So if we get a lack of intensity from Borough, then, you know, Ipswich will win, because it's so much more important. But if we get a freedom from Borough and a really bloody nervous Portman Road and Ipswich, then you'd love to play that if you're Finn Azaz or Isaiah Jones, like you say, or Latte Laugh. You're like, oh, this is my scene. I've got my spanner here, and I'm about to throw it in the works of your promotion push. So it's so on a knife edge with the psychology at this point in the season, isn't it?
Yeah, I think the start of this game is going to be really interesting, because I think Carrick was really... he came out and he was pretty defiant after the game against Hull in saying that it's not over yet, that, yeah, okay, we've maybe slumped an opportunity there to cut the gap to Norwich to 4 points, but at the same time, like, we're still in it and we are technically, although I always thought that it was unlikely, and with that draw, it does burst the bubble a little bit, but we are still there. As delusional as that may sound, we definitely are still in it. So I think the start of this game is going to be interesting. Do you want to have a guess of what the score is going to be come full time?
I mean, both teams to score nailed on, isn't it? If it's Ipswich at home this season.
Yeah.
I either went 2-1 or 3-1 in predictions. But as I say, my head has gone. We spoke about it last time, Dana. We always like Carrick versus McKenna, and they didn't fall over each other trying to be overly clever and beat each other last time. So we should get a good, you know, open football match. I totally agree with you that in terms of that first goal, if Ipswich score it, I think, speaking of deck chairs, do we get a Middlesbrough fold? Because it's like, oh, okay, we're done at this point, and, you know, Norwich will do well to mess up to that extent. If you get Middlesbrough opening goal and you know Ipswich have got a chase, then you could get 3-2, 4-3 any particular way. So I would think both teams to score. Who are Borough going to line up in the attacking slots?
It'll definitely be Latilath, Jones on the right, and then it'll probably be Greenwood on the left, because and then Azaz in the number 10, because Riley McGree's ruled out for the rest of the season. So that's probably what we're working with.
Azaz was good for, he's got history with Plymouth against Ipswich as well from last season.
Oh, nice.
When you say, you know, when you say those guys' names, then you think Borough are more than capable of scoring in the game. It's almost just a microcosm, this game, for the narrative of are Ipswich going up or not? Because if Ipswich are going up to win the game, I don't know if you've seen how the schedule works, whereby Leeds basically now play three times for this next game for Ipswich. They play because Coventry are in the cup semi-final, and then Leeds play Friday night ahead. So pressure is going to be so, so on Ipswich, whatever happens, going into a three-game week to end the season. Hull away, Coventry away, Huddersfield at home, potentially playing to stay up. If you think my head's gone now. So basically, there's no option. You have to win this game to set yourself up to come into that last horrific week, you know, and you want to go into that last week, Dana, knowing, right, 7 points, Premier League, or something like that. You just want to know that. That's the deal. Black and white, score those points and you're up. You'd rather it wasn't 9, but, you know, as everyone very boringly says, there'll still be more twists and turns, won't there? And someone,
classic commentator's cliche, that, isn't it?
But it is. But sometimes they're cliches because they're true. And is someone going to just drop? And I always remember when Ipswich failed to get promoted, I can't remember what year it was, like 3 games from the end of the season, they lost at home to Crewe. And I think Crewe got relegated that season, or maybe just stayed up or something. And it was just the most ridiculous, most championship result you could ever see. But is there going to be, I don't know, Leicester have got or Leeds, that you get like some ridiculous home defeat coming from someone?
That's exactly what I was thinking whilst you were talking there. Whenever we approach this part of the season, coming towards the close of it, there is always one result that stands out amongst all the others. And I look at it and I think, WTF. And Borough, I don't think have ever been on the end of that. And I don't think they've been the team that inflict that on an opposition. But yeah, I am feeling like we might, and it might be on Saturday, but I honestly couldn't call it. 4-3 Borough.
Can I tell you the prime contender? Ipswich v Huddersfield, last day of the season.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Hell, from a Sorber Thomas set play.
It's written.
But I just having a look at Leeds fixtures, I didn't realise Borough play Leeds as well in the running.
On a Monday night, which is great. We all love a Monday night game. Thanks, Sky.
So I really need to big Borough up here. They're an excellent team and they're going to take Leeds all the way in that game whilst not taking Ipswich all the way in this game, right? That's my football supporter logic, yeah?
I do feel like we might end up winning against one of those two teams, either yourselves or Leeds. I bet you're hoping that it's against Leeds, obviously.
Man, you just want any help from anywhere you can get, especially after this midweek. Because, I mean, I don't know what your take is, you know, from your vantage point from Borough, but Millwall won Leicester nil, Leeds nil, Sunderland nil, Ipswich nil, Watford nil. Maybe it's just that our expectations are unreasonably high given that these teams have been winning all season, but maybe that's our bonkers round and we'll get, you know, 9 or 10 points from the last four games from all of these sides now.
Yeah, it is going to be very interesting indeed. But to those that are listening to this and watching as well, please let us know what your score predictions are for Ipswich against the Borough. And we'll put all the links to where you can find Ben's content in the description of this episode. But that was all of your opposition match day chatter in a pod. We'll be back on Sunday discussing what we hope to be a Borough win. I know Ben doesn't, but up the Borough breakdown.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.